Hey guys, we are back today with the awesome, amazing Andrew Smith, who is sharing his expert advice on some of the challenges that some of your challenging students face. Because we all know behavior is communication, and there usually is something going on with your challenging students that make them behave the way they do. They have no other control of their bodies, their minds, their words. And so we're going to discuss that today. So before we dive in, I just want to say, if you could please hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss a thing. Leave a review so others can learn and grow here as well. And also, I want to remind you that you can support this podcast, and that is through online payments, and it's just online payment at Behavior Strategies for Class, and you can do any kind of donation. It would be greatly appreciated just to show your support for this show and that you are learning and getting value and growing and learning more about behavior strategies. So again, if you want to donate and show your support, go to online payments at Behavior Strategies for Class. Thanks so much. Welcome to Behavior Strategies for Class. I am Diane Bachman, your behavior paraprofessional with over 15 years of experience working in special education. And I'm so glad you're here, because I'll be teaching you about social-emotional learning, behavior strategies, trauma-informed care, and more. So if you are tired of being frustrated and not knowing what to do with your students who have challenging and disruptive behavior, you're in the right place. Now, if you're ready to become more equipped to help your students learn and grow, let's listen in to today's episode. Here we go. Welcome back, guys. I am back with Andrew Smith, our school counselor, full of all of his advice and wisdom that we are going to share with you today. And we are talking about challenging students and what is it that makes them challenging? And there's a lot of different avenues. And so we're going to touch on a few of those today. And so, Andrew, so my first question would be, what are some challenging behaviors have you seen, we'll just say this year, this school year?
Good question. I feel like this week has been a year in and of itself. So, you know, I've seen a lot of challenging behaviors. And some of the biggest are yelling and refusing, and had some fun friends where they were throwing around some F-bombs and like, I'm done with you. And why would I listen to you? And the first thing that goes in my head is usually what, 3.5 weeks left or maybe.
Yeah.
So just some of those different things that, and I think they stem a lot of times from an inability to control emotions. I mean, which sounds pretty easy to say, but there's a lot that goes into that. Some of the outward behaviors, those externalizing behaviors or the erupting behaviors, however you want to put it, tend to be symptomatic of those internal things of like not being able to cope with a lot of things. I generally see a lot of anxiety based things, because the inability to control or to reconcile when something doesn't happen in their orbit that they really just predicted right there, and it ends up being over here. They can't figure out a way to make those two meet and work together, right? So they tend to come out in a lot more explosive ways for whatever reason. Maybe that's just this week. Maybe it's just an April thing, right? Like we're testing season, and that shoe, that chair that just had to go.
Right. I agree. I mean, like one of our students this morning just refused to do any work and lay down the middle of the carpet and was like, I quit. It's like, okay. And it took a minute, offering the what do you need? How can I help? All of the things and nothing, nothing, nothing. I quit. So for me, that's more of a challenge because when you get no response and you have nothing really like to work on per se, that to me is challenging behavior because what are you going to do? And then how long can you allow that student to lay on the carpet in the middle of the classroom, before other things happen in transition? Thankfully, he finally did get up when we went into our classroom, but there are times where he does not, and that is definitely a challenge.
Well, that brings up another good point of something that the kids feel and react to, but really that tends to be an adult one is the challenge to perform and the challenge to produce. And as schools, that's been like rammed down your throat for like the last 20 or 30 years of get those grades in, get those test scores in, get those CSAs and CFAs or whatever done. We got to know where they're at. And that's, it's not tied to our funding, but it's tied to our funding and things like that. And so there's that huge push of like, well, they got to be working. They got to be productive. And so the school side of me is like, okay, well, let's go get our work done. I always say get work done before fun, right? And then the counselor side of me, and maybe this is where I'm having a hard time sometimes, it's like, no, they need something. They're showing you and telling you they need something. We could put math in front of them, but we're not going to get anything
No.
that's going to be useful. So let's figure out what they need first and waiting out and being able to be like, today's just not going to be that day. We're just not going to get that, which is hard. And that's a philosophy shift. Like I said, that's the counselor side of me, but then the school side of me is seeing and hearing and feeling those things of like, that's not just my boss being, my principal who's amazing, just, trying to really push us and like get us through. That's from on high. That's from superintendent. That's from the state. That's from, all of these really big key stakeholders. But it filters down all the way to our kids. And we always joke about testing season, like, like it's we're heading into winter or like football season or whatever. But we've, I don't know for you, if it's still that way in Colorado, but we've been testing since spring break, and that was early March, and we will hopefully be done in 2 weeks. So we're talking a
Oh
month and
my
a half,
gosh.
yeah, for this fall one, because we have our state tests and then we have our MAP tests. We use MAP as measurements of growth for the year. So those our first and our last points are really the biggest points to show growth. And we gotta get those done. The window is pretty wide open on those, but you're talking six, seven, eight, nine tests and trying to do some other things in between and then field trips too, right? Because we gotta have some fun. So all of those things create a lot of pressure and anxiety and just changes of routine because we're still going to school, but you have an hour and a half of a test day when you normally have a structured, we're doing this schedule and this subject and this. That throws me off, let alone kids. So there's another factor to that that we know about, but we don't necessarily know or aren't as responsive as probably could be about too. That's the hard part. And that's so much of an adult-driven thing too.
So true. I mean, that just reminds me of another student we had. They were doing a new math problem, a new math structure or whatever, and she was just not having it. And I walk in and she's just like rolling all the same thing on the carpet. They love the carpet, and they're just she totally not at all interested. And when she was finally able to come out of the classroom, she's like, I'm hungry. Okay. Like, we'll get a snack. You can sit and chill for a few, and then she did her work. So was it because she was hungry at the time? I don't know. Or was she just overwhelmed because it's something new? Probably all of the above. But I mean, thankfully, that's the cool thing of our program, being able to take those students out and give them that processing time or that wait time when I know all, and that's not always doable in a gen ed class, but for the most part, it's usually only a couple kids that are just over it and refusing. And so my next question would be, do you think there is like a level of challenging, like it affects teachers differently? Like what is challenging behavior to them? Have you seen that?
Well, that is as clear as mud. I usually think of there's Crisis Prevention Institute, and they have a de-escalation part of theirs that a lot of schools and states use. And part of that is they teach what's a challenging question. And on one level, a challenging question is like information seeking. Like, Johnny, come sit down and we're gonna do our math. Well, hold on, Mrs. B. What time is lunch? And okay, well, Johnny, we have to get math done first before we do lunch anyway. Like, but wait, Mrs. B, that what time is lunch? And so truly he's probably looking for some information. Probably doesn't hurt to answer and be like, oh, I don't know, it's like 12 o'clock. Right? Oh, okay. And then we start working on math. But then there's the challenging as a personal thing, like, well, why should I work for you? And so those two different parts of that challenge the person, the relationship, the connection, the authority, and they mainly speak about it in the authority sense, as far as like compliance and things like that. But really, those are two different levels I think along those lines with, after having many years of being in doing CPI and de-escalation. But there's also just everybody's comfort level as a person. As teachers, as people who work in schools, staff, whoever, we don't stop being a person when we enter the doors. That's the hard part. We also bring all of our things. Like my personal thing, and it's a pet peeve, is like tapping. And I don't know what it is, but when kids or somebody, anybody really,
Oh, that's
if you're
true.
sitting there next to somebody and you got the pen going, like my brain, and it's probably ADHD, part of it is trying to make sense of the pattern. It's looking for the pattern and the clicks. And like, are they doing SOS? Do I need to wrap this meeting up? Is this somebody's like favorite song? And I can't think about what I'm doing, and it just cuts through. Like, no matter anything I try, it just cuts through. And so it's just like, oh, I can't do anything until it stops. So that's somebody's, I always call it kryptonite, but you can tell I've worked with elementary kids, because sometimes I just speak in like comic book and superhero terms, but that's one of my kryptonites, right? I have another teacher who, if there is somebody who's kind of picking on somebody with lesser skills for whatever, however that might look, that's her kryptonite. She is just like, she will be a mama bear and a bear cat, however you want to put it, some sort of bear, and she will wrap around that kid, and God help whoever is trying to do that next, right? And that's her kryptonite. So that's the hard part, is that there's a level, I think, we've talked about this before, or level of that self-awareness of what are those buttons that you don't want pushed, because kids are going to find those buttons, and they're going to push them like it's a big red, emergency alert button, right? And then that's where a lot of people have that challenging part of it come in. Because, oh no, Johnny pressed that big red button, and now that's a personal challenge to me. Where Johnny, sometimes Johnny doesn't even know where his feet are, let alone that he's pressing your butt. So those are a couple different ways of looking at it and kind of thinking about it right there, for me anyway, that seem to make sense of how do we have all these different challenging behaviors. Well, some of them are related to us as adults, and what challenges us personally.
So I guess I should have stated it like I feel like some teachers have different tolerance levels where they can answer the 20 questions that Johnny just asked them and they're fine and then go on and finish teaching whatever, where others and that's not a huge Again, I guess that's my tolerance level. I don't feel like that's a huge challenge, but some teachers may because they don't want to sit and answer the 45 questions that they have. They have a lesson that they need to finish. But so switching, what are some challenging, I guess it would be family situations that affect the students so that they have the challenging behaviors in class? Because we all know whatever's happening at home, behavior is communication. What are they communicating when they come to school and they're refusing and they don't trust any adults? They don't trust us, and they've worked with us all year, but they still don't believe what we say. Or, trust that we are going to follow through on what we say, because there may have been one time where, we couldn't for whatever reason. And so now, like, there's no trust whatsoever. So now he's acting out because he can't trust the adults in his home, let alone coming to school and trusting those adults. So now you have a different type of challenging behaviors. What challenging family situations have you experienced with some of your students?
Well, I've worked in title buildings, and I've worked in districts where, on one end we had trailer parks and another end we had million-dollar houses. And throughout it all, the level of trauma really has been kind of that predictor for things, that we know about sometimes. And that's the hard part is, there's those silent, those sleeper people with, their ability to navigate and to stay out of the limelight is their survival mechanism. And so that really the makeup of the family, I think we've kind of learned over the past decades, doesn't necessarily predict that level. We do know that a divorce causes stress. We do know that sometimes adoption can have some longer effects depending on the circumstances around it. Reasons for going into foster care generally have some harder parts to it that cause stress. But realistically, it's the family makeup at home, and that's tough. A lot of times, from what I've worked with, when there's a lot of stress at home, financial reasons, relationship reasons between mom and dad, or mom, parents and other parts of their family, people are just trying to do their best. But there's some that very much struggle with some abusive behaviors and some abusive cycles. And I always, that's something I always try and talk to staff about for a lot of things. And when I'm doing district level trainings of like, we have our kids for 17, for 7 hours, they go somewhere for 17, right? And if we have these things, these cyclical patterns of just through the generations, that could be that generational trauma. And it's even as much as, 3 generations ago. There's been some studies and some research about finding, and I want to say it was middle school girls, like junior high girls, and their rates of eating disorders, maybe something along those lines. And so what they did was they started doing ethnographies of just like tracing back with the family tree, and they would find, back 2 or 3 generations, like grandmother's age, that there would be some, maybe there was some sexual assault, or maybe there was some molestation or different things like that. And this is just one study, so bear that in mind. That there was, and it disrupted the next generation as well as the resulting generations. Not only on like a DNA level, because trauma affects your DNA and the expression, right? Esther Van Kolk and all of those guys, a lot smarter than me, who have studied it on the biophysical level, have proven that. But also on the patterns that families do, because they adjust. When you have an abusive family member in the home, the family, it works as a system to adjust for it. And that's where you see if some, if there's somebody who struggles with alcohol dependence, the family adjusts around that. They're not going to be up on, in time to get it for Eddie. So the kids adjust. They find the way to try and find some sort of normal, whether that
Right.
normal is what you and I would consider normal. That's not the point. It's the what the family adjusts to. So one change in that can throw out the full family disruption. So you have kids that can that are navigating those things. You know, we're talking some kindergartners that are navigating that because that's what they're living with. That's their life. You know, all the way up through, you know, high school, obviously, and college, and, you know, just adults walking around. And then you put them into an environment where generally, and I'm going to speak more elementary level, they have a hard time generalizing because they're 6 or 10 or, you know, 8. You know, they're generalizing is a thing that they're still working on. Like they don't know how to adjust so that the teacher who's barking at them about a pencil when they literally just had to scrounge to find some breakfast food because somebody's not up to see them off in the morning or to get them to the bus. It's on them. That's a hard adjustment right there. In one area, like at that home life, they're an expert at navigating that, of knowing cues and smells, sounds, tones of voice, environment things like what your clothing looks like, what the house looks like when they open up the door. What the neighborhood is like and all the different ins and outs of the neighborhood. They know that. They're experts at that. They've been doing that for years. You come into this unpredictable part of school where there might be a new kid in there and that throws off the whole friendship scheme. They don't know how to deal with that because they're 7 or 8. They have their home life fairly figured out as far as like navigating one way or another. And now they have these unpredictable things. So sometimes what we're fighting is because the fact that they're, you know, experts in their own life over here with all of these different things, this trauma, this disordered family and chaotic family structure, right? At times that some kids go through. And then they come to this very predictable thing that doesn't feel normal because that's not their norm. Success sometimes for kids doesn't feel normal because they've never known success or it's never been communicated to them. Right. That family structure is that you are just good for nothing and you're the reason why I am this or that or another, and they get blamed for everything. That's their norm. And so to feel like to get that, the feeling of success and praise, that's a new feeling that they don't quite know how to deal with. Where do you put that in when you only have that in one area from one part of your day? So there's a lot of different challenging family structures. And it kind of goes back to that being that clear as day as each kid and each example. I've worked with some phenomenal families and people that adoption, fostering, and things like that, where the kids have just thrived, the parents have thrived through it, and just been amazing. So there's it just really depends on the situation, which is always hard, but there's some things that our kids are just experts in one way and just doesn't translate over to schools for whatever reason and for specific reasons too.
And I think, like you said, that we don't always see that surface of how trauma is affecting certain students because you can look at them and they're the star student and doing everything that they're supposed to be doing and all of that. And not realizing, that they're still in survival mode, and that's how they've learned, to survive. And also, like you said, working in elementary school, like they're not aware of that, like what they're doing, that they're in survival mode. Like we have another second grader, we've worked with off and on, and that's exactly it. Mom is an alcoholic, and God only knows who else is in and out of that house when mom is out or home drinking with whoever. And his behavior has just escalated this year since last year. And it's just so heartbreaking, to see. But I think definitely getting teachers and educators all around to be more empathetic as much as possible is vital. I feel like sometimes that goes back to, changing our question. We're not asking what's wrong with that kid. It's what happened to that student. What happened to make them react this way, because again, bringing it back to, behavior is communication. So what is one way that we can help these students, and again, we're not always going to know their stories, the whole background, the whole whatever, is going on with that student. We may know more of some, but obviously not all of the students. So what is one way that we can help navigate with that student? Because like you said, obviously there is academics that need to be done. There is testing that needs to be done. There are expectations that we want to hold them to, but trying to get that balance of empathy and structure and academics and social emotional, all of that fun stuff. What are your thoughts?
It's not an easy balancing act.
No,
And
it's
it
not.
feels like you're a three-ring circus sometimes. Like, I gotta hold on, let me put on the dog and pony show and we'll get through this, right? It's a dance. I mean, that's the best part of it. I was talking with my district's a larger district. We have I want to say 15, 16 elementary schools, three middle, two high schools. Really should have four middle and one, three high schools, but they're working on it. So we're working on tier two, and I was part of the work group that's been working on our tier two interventions. And they have this amazing structure, and they're headed by really just awesome people. Shout out to Deb, Dr. Deb, and everybody. And they have this awesome structure of like, how do you get data? How do you do this? How do you funnel kids to social skills groups? And then they have this other box and they're like, okay, so, this will work and this will work, for all these behaviors. And like, okay, so what about our trauma kids? Well, our trauma kids need fluidity. They need latitude, like to be able to have rough day and nothing's going to get done. And when you start putting structures, and this is part that always gets me a little nervous. I always talk about feeling a little scratchy, at a gal I worked with, and I thought that was the best way of describing like being a little nervous, a little anxious about it, where you're just like, I don't know about that. And so anytime you start doing that, then and having set structures that they can introduce opportunities to fail. And so being willing to maybe step aside from those structures when needed. And it's a feeling act. It's a dance of like today we're not there. So that check in, check out, that we're gonna ride on that. We're gonna still keep data because data can be kept that way. But as far as that's an outlier. Like, yeah, that might drop their percentage, but we're gonna know that when we take a look at it at the end of the week or when we review. So being able to be kind of fluid with that, and that, the difference is I spent an hour altogether, probably about 3 hours of my day with a kiddo. Yeah, let's see, today is Friday. I believe it was on it was yesterday. Like I said, this week's been a
I
year.
know.
Altogether, I spent about 3 hours with her, and it was a struggle in the morning. We weren't verbalizing anything. So, I didn't have to teach classes that day, which was nice. So it was sitting and waiting. Bathroom is a big area because she has control in the bathroom. She has control over who comes into the stall, and nobody does, right? But that's her control level. And then from there, she has control over how she washes her hands. And when she comes out, because we're not going in there. We're like, well, I'll wait. It's okay. You take your time. You take care of business in there. And then it was washing feet, but whatever. I'm not that you got clean feet now. Your flip-flops are clean too, right? And then it was sitting in our main hallway, and there are classes and people going back and forth, and we're just sitting doing origami, because that was what got her attention that day. We sat there for a half an hour there, and then her class was testing. That was a state testing, and we have a little bit flexibility with doing makeups and stuff. with being in Nebraska, that they have a lot of flexibility with that. And so that testing wasn't going to happen, but we could sit there and think in our rigidity of like, we need to force these kids to go through this because that's what's expected of them. Well, if they could do that, they would, right?
Right.
This doesn't feel good to feel that out of Kimbo, that like the only thing that you feel like you can do to feel a little bit more normal is to wash your feet in the sink
Yeah.
of this third and fourth grade bathroom with
Yeah.
like sixth graders walking by you, fourth grade boys and all of their like morning smelliness with like Axe body spray coming in and out too, right?
Still have that, huh?
Yeah, but oh yes, and it has not gotten better with age. But to feel that out of Kimbo, that's hard. And so having some fluidity and having that dance, because she came back today and she knocked out her test. And
Yeah.
actually at the last half hour of the day, we were able to, she usually does a 10 questions, takes a break, and that break is maybe 20 minutes and
Right.
then comes back and does another 10 questions. And she knocked it out at the end of the day. And then she knocked another test out today and caught up on her work. So
Nice.
that's the balance. It's the dance of
Right.
when do I need to know when to hold her more accountable for like, okay, look, this isn't feeling great, but we're going to push through this. But then on the next day of being like, you're nowhere near school. So let's figure out what we can do. Let's plan for that. Let's problem solve. We got to do these two things. How do we get these two things done today, knowing that we're not in the mood? But it takes the willingness to step aside from that. And and this is something that I've been confronting myself about, taking my own ego out of it as an
Yeah.
adult, as an authority figure. Do I need this to happen for me, or do I
Right.
need this to happen so that the kid and the situation is better? And that takes, it's not easy. I mean, I've been a
Yeah.
counselor 7 years. I'm in my a PhD program where they talk about self-awareness and being change agents and all of the different trainings and everything, and I still struggle with it sometimes of, is this for me or is this for the kid? And so
Right.
the biggest part I would say is question, take a step back, question yourself, is this for me or is this for the kids? And it is okay. Sometimes we get off on a tangent. Sometimes we get off on just this, I gotta have this control. My anxiety's high because this isn't working out the way I pictured it.
Right.
Sometimes it's us and they're just reacting to it. And so, I sent a text to one of my resource teachers the other day, like, I think we were trying to work on a timeout for a kiddo. I was like, I think he needs to have an extra 5 minutes because of what he called me. And I was like, wait a minute, wait a minute. Hold on. That's me, right?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I know that, I'm not whatever he said it was because he's not an expert on the whatever it was,
Yeah.
right? He came up with something pretty creative, which, give him credit for. But I know I'm not. He knows I'm not. He didn't like the situation. So I was like, wait a minute. I think I need to take my ego out on that one. I was like, that doesn't feel right to do that because that's about me. We could talk about that later. That we're not going to get anywhere from that right now.
Exactly.
That's that might be a follow-up. Like when you called me, I didn't really like that. That wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Let's try it. Do you think we could do better on that next time? But that's after we de-escalate. So being able to kind of take your own self out of it is hard to do. Sometimes it's vital for what's best for the kiddo, though. So
That's
having
so
some
true.
latitude, yeah, the dance of all of that is important.
Yeah. And definitely not taking things personally, is huge. And like you said, I think that's a great, reminder, like, is am I trying to force this child to do this because I need to move on to the next thing? Or, is it better, like, I just need to wait them out or give them an extra break or whatever it is. And helping that student succeed. Like you said, it's kind of turning the table a little bit because, yeah, it's very easy. Of course, it should be about me, right? That's why I'm there, Like we don't want to take it
Right.
personally when they're lashing out and spitting at us and, cussing us out,
And sometimes
So
they hit those
remind
lines right on there. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think also too, just another quick to have their, dare I say, punishment fit the crime, So yeah, having a conversation later when the child can kind of process through like what I could have done differently, or like if that student threw a fit in the cafeteria and made a mess everywhere, you're not going to give them another timeout. Like, go clean it up. And now you need to clean for the next class or whatever, I think that's important too. But I also want to bring it back again to the magic word of relationship, because it's how you get to know your students, where you could look and see, the student's behavior, their attitude. You can just feel like they are not gonna test today. They are not gonna be able to stay in class or whatever it is. Like you need to know your students. And hopefully by this time, in the year, you do know your students and you can give them that flexibility, and then later process through, give them that voice, let them have a choice, of, and we do that with our students. Okay, you have this work to be done. Do you want to start on this worksheet or do you want to do the test first? And those are simple choices. Do you want this pencil or that pencil? Those are simple choices, but it just gives them back that control, of what they think they don't have control. Of course, they're little in elementary school, they don't have a lot of control of their life and lots of things going on. But if we can give them that back, gives that reconnection with you, they can process through, and as much as possible, getting back to the academics, to why, of course, they're in school. So that's great, Andrew. I love that. Is this for me? Like, yeah, I want that kid in timeout in the quiet room for 25 minutes. Or is this really going to be best for the student? And hopefully you guys can be able to take a minute and refocus for yourself, become more self-aware what's bothering you, and not being able to, bring that all out on your students, because, it's the end of the year. People are stressed out. You have so much to do and finish, and you want to make it hopefully a good time that students remember you as a teacher and the connection that they had with you. And hopefully you will see or have seen already changes in behavior because you have worked on that connection with the student. So wrapping up, Andrew, do you have any other words of wisdom?
It's a journey, not an event.
So true.
Think that's in so many different ways. Not to like wax poetic, but it's a
Right.
journey, not an event. This some kids, this will be a lifetime thing. And
Yeah.
so, 1 year can make a big difference. However, they're playing the long game, and we need to keep an eye towards that.
Awesome. Well, as always, thanks so much for always being here, Andrew. And hopefully you will make it through the last few weeks of school. I think we're
I
down
agree.
to like a month. It's so awesome.
Nice. I think it's March 21st or somewhere, or not March. Oh, geez, May
Wow.
21st. Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, we went way over. May
Yeah.
21st somewhere there. I always have to look at the calendar. Not like I have it circled and like, exclamation points behind it.
Arrows. Yeah.
Running clock on the side, right?
Exactly. All
All right.
right.
Well,
Thanks again.
yep,
And we
it's
will
always a
see you
pleasure.
guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And if I have encouraged you, motivated you to continue to learn, to support your students, even better, to help them strive in your classroom, please leave a review, hit that subscribe button so that others can see they can learn and grow here as well. Thank you.